Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
This class is presented by Rabbi Leib Shapiro.
Miracles. Nisim. We know that the Hebrew word for the word miracles is Nisim. The word Nais means a miracle. The word Nais also has another meaning. The word Nais means to pick up. As a pasuk that says, Orim Nisi Ale Horim, I will pick up. A Nais means like a flag or like a pole on top of the mountains. But the word Nais means a pole, something that's picked up, something that's elevated. And there must be some connection between the idea of a miracle and the idea of picking up, of elevating. And that's what we have to discuss to see what is it that a miracle elevates? What does it pick up? There must be something there that a miracle picks up. And then there is another question that comes into everyone's mind, and that is, why is it that we hear stories of years ago that there were a lot of miracles that took place? We learn in the Chumash, we know that there are so many miracles took place. And later on in the Gemara, so many miracles took place. And the later generations, we don't see so many miracles. Why is it? Now, in truth, the Gemara already asked that question. The Gemara says in Brochus, on Daf Chof, the Gemara says that the Papa asked the question of Abaye, why is it that Deiros HaRishonim, the earlier generations, Nisrachesh Lo Nisa, miracles used to happen to them. And Anan, we, Leibes Rachesh Nisa, to us miracles don't happen. Why is it? So that's a question already asked in the time of the Gemara. That already at that time, they looked at the earlier generations as if there more miracles used to take place than in his generation, which is later generations of the Gemara. And he answered him, the reason is because the earlier generations, the people from the earlier generations, would be Meisa Nefesh, Akdushas Hashem. They were people that would go, Amesiris Nefesh, they would give up their lives for the sanctifications of Hashem's name. And that was the reason why miracles used to happen to them. While the Anani says, we are not that great. We are not Meisa Nefesh. We don't really go out of our way, go Amesiris Nefesh, to sanctify Hashem's name, and therefore miracles don't happen to us. Now we want to explain that. What is the connection between Mesiris Nefesh, giving up your life or going out of your way for the sanctification of Hashem's name, that should be a reason for miracles to take place? So let's first just get into the idea of what miracles mean, and then we'll get back to this. We know that, just to start off, that the Akedah writes, there's a sefer called Akedah, he writes that there are two times of the year which are considered the beginning of the year. We know that the month of Tishrei is the beginning of the year. Everyone knows that. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei. We also know that sometimes we consider Nisan as the beginning of the year, the month of Nisan. Actually, in Chumash, just a few parashas ago, it says, that this is the beginning of the year, that Nisan is the first month of the year. So the Akedah explains that they're both true. Obviously, they're both true. There are two beginnings of the year because there are two ways we count the year. There is a way to look at the year as far as the Teva is concerned, the nature is concerned. And then we look at the year also as far as Nisim are concerned. There are two Hanhogas, he says, there are two ways Hashem rules the world. He rules the world through nature and he rules the world through miracles. And the beginning of the year for the nature is from the month of Tishrei, because that's when Hashem created the world. We know in Rosh Hashanah that's when Adam HaRishon, the first human being, was created. That's the time of the creation. Nisan, we know, is the month of miracles. That's when there was Yetzias Mitzrayim, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, and it all took place through many, many miracles. Actually, the word Nisan, which is the name of the month, also comes from the word Nais, which is miracle. And therefore he says that we count Nisan as the first month of the year, the beginning of the year, when we think about Hashem's behavior, Hashem's ruling of the world, controlling the world, when he performs miracles. Now we see that usually things happen naturally. Miracles don't happen so often. But nevertheless, from time to time miracles happen. So when is basically the Rosh Hashanah for miracles? It's on the first day of Nisan. The Rosh Hashanah of nature is from the first day of Tishrei. Because there are many different Rosh Hashanahs, as we know. As a matter of fact, today is also Rosh Hashanah. Today is Chamishosa B'Shvat, so it's Rosh Hashanah Leilonis, it's Rosh Hashanah of trees. So you have Rosh Hashanah for different things. The Gemara says there are few Rosh Hashanahs, and then we in Lubavitch know there's Rosh Hashanah Tachzides, which is the Kislev, a lot of Rosh Hashanahs. So there is Rosh Hashanah for Teva, for nature, and Rosh Hashanah for miracles, for Nisim, and that's Nisan. In other words, there is the way Hashem rules the world. There are two ways. There is sometimes He does miracles, most of the time it goes through nature. Now, the idea behind it is, let's start by the explaining that we know that Hashem created the world, obviously. Not only did Hashem create the world once, the first time, beginning of creation, but Hashem also creates the world constantly, every moment. We say in Davening, that every day Hashem constantly renews the creation. Not only every day, but we know Tomid constantly, every moment Hashem renews the creation. Hashem recreates the world again and again. So actually, this moment, the reason the world exists here, because Hashem makes it happen. And in Tanya, he explains that it must be that way. There is no two ways about it. There's no other way. We can't say Hashem created the world once and then left it, and now it's on its own. And he brings proof and example that it can be that way. And because we're short in time, I won't go into the details. But the truth is that Hashem recreates the world every moment. Now, if Hashem recreates the world every moment, that means Hashem makes everything happen. When we say He recreates the world, when we look at the world has laws of nature. So all these laws of nature are created and were created and are recreated by Hashem every moment. Now Hashem Himself is not limited to these laws of nature. It's obvious. If He's the one that created it, then He's not limited to it. When we make some, even we as human beings, when we make something and we put a certain nature or whatever we will call it into the object we make, we who made it, obviously, are not limited to the thing that we made. If we're the maker, then we're not limited by what we made, if we made it. Hashem, who is the creator, is not limited by the creation. So He's not limited by the laws of nature. In other words, He doesn't have to make the world continue only according to the laws of nature, if He's the one that made the laws of nature. It doesn't limit Him to the way He should behave. In other words, if He wants, really, He could change and make things differently. Even if He would have created the world once, and then it continues on its own, which is not true, but even if that would happen, since He is the creator, He could come back one day, if He wants, and make things differently. Even if you put into the creation certain laws, and certain things, the way the world should go, work, and that's what we call nature, He is able, if He wants, later on, to come and say, today I want to make things happen differently. Certainly, by the fact that He recreates the world every second. So who tells Him that He has to now, this moment, when He's creating the world again, that He has to continue creating the world with the laws of nature? Just to use an example, the laws of nature is that when you walk on water, you'll sink, you'll drown. Who made that law? Who made that nature? Hashem did. Now who forces Him to continue it that way? When He continues the world now, He can do it whichever way He wants. He can make that a person should walk on water and not drown. I mean, He could do whatever He wants. The only thing is, Hashem said that He decided, it's all because of His will, He decided He wants that the world should continue naturally. But He's definitely not limited to it. But it's something that He wanted. Using the terms of Chassidus, He was metzamtzem Himself, He contracted Himself to a position that the world should continue with the laws of nature. But He is definitely not limited to it. But because He wanted the world to go along with the laws of nature, and it continuously happens in the same way, so what does that do? That makes people forget that it's all run by Hashem. That's what happens. If you see things happen constantly the same way, and there are certain laws, what we call nature, and this is the way things go on and on and on for year after year after year, then people could forget and not realize that this all comes from Hashem. People say, who says there is a God? Who says there's a creator? But there are laws of nature. Now in truth, laws, when we use the term laws of nature, that doesn't describe how things happen. It's just using a word, but it doesn't explain. It's just maybe a description, but not an explanation. When you say, how come things happen this way? Well, that's the laws of nature. What does that mean? It just, instead of going through every detail saying, well, the sun rises every morning, and if you plant a seed, it grows, whatever it is. So we use one word. So we found one word that includes everything. That's the word nature. But it doesn't explain. It doesn't explain how all this happens. Who makes it all happen? What do you mean nature makes it happen? Nature is just a word that describes what's happening. This is all called nature. But what makes it all happen? Hashem. But being that it happens constantly the same way, we seem to forget that all this is really from Hashem. And Hashem makes it happen. And the fact that it's like this now, Hashem wants it now to be that way. And therefore, from time to time, when Hashem would perform a miracle, that was like a wake-up call. The purpose of a miracle is for us to realize that the world has a balabos, has a boss, has a being that created it, and a being that controls it, and he is not limited to these laws that seem to be laws of nature. So whenever a miracle happens, what it makes us think is, oh, obviously it's not so simple. There must be somebody who is in charge. For instance, by Avraham Avinu, it says Avraham Avinu realized through his own understanding the greatness of Hashem. When he was 3 years old, the Rambam says he started thinking and he came to a decision, a realization that there must be Yesh Balabais Lebirazu. There is a Balabais, there is a Balabos, a boss to this palace, to this world. How did he come to that realization? So the Rambam says, he started thinking, look, you have the solar system, you have all this, and all this happens. Who makes all this happen? So he realized it's Hashem. But when there is no miracle, then it's harder, you gotta think very hard. If you think hard, you'll come to an understanding that this is all by Hashem. But when a miracle happens and something just goes differently, then this shows that nature, what we call nature, is not really in control, but it's Hashem who controls it. And that's why it's called a Nes. Nes means it picks up. What does it pick up? It picks up the nature. It elevates the nature to a level that people should realize that the nature comes from Hashem. Which is one of the basic foundations of Yiddishkeit. To realize that the nature, which we call nature, is really from Hashem. And there is no such thing as nature on its own. Which means in truth that nature and miracles are really the same. Just that things that happen constantly in the same way is called nature, and a miracle is something that's different than the normal system. But as far as who makes it all happen is the same. In the Svarim it says that what is really nature? Really, nature is a nes masmit. It's a constant miracle. Why is it less of a miracle, the fact that the sun rises every morning, than the fact that the moon came down from heaven? Who makes this happen? Why should this happen? It's the same miracle. The only thing is, being that it happens every day, we get used to it. And if we're used to it, we forget it's from Hashem. But really, it's a constant miracle. That's what it is. It's one of the reasons, it says in Sforim, why in the Midbar, in the desert, when Hashem gave the Jews the moon, so it says that every day the moon came down. And one of the questions asked is, why didn't Hashem give them once for a year and they should store it and have it? Why do they have to make every day the moon come down again? And the answer is that if it would come, they would have it once, they would forget where it came from and it would start being to them a natural thing. So Hashem made it every day they have to come out and look for it, and every day they would see that this is something that is not natural, and this would keep them always remembering that this is from Hashem. But in truth, it's all the same. Who says that when you plant a seed in the ground, things have to grow? We're so used to it, but why does it have to happen that way? Why is that less of a miracle than the fact that it comes down from heaven? When the rain comes down from heaven, that's fine. That's okay. That's natural. And when bread comes down from heaven, that's a miracle. Why? It's the same thing. The only thing is, this is something that's natural, which means it happens very often and we're used to it. If it would rain every day, moon from heaven, and that's how we would get our bread, well, that would be natural. But, so really it's all the same. But since we don't realize that Hashem from time to time wants to elevate the nature to a level to us that we should realize it's from Hashem, she makes a miracle. That's a nes. The word nes means orim nisi ala horim. He picks it up. But what it tries to bring to our attention is that nature and beyond nature are really the same. And really this is a foundation in Yiddishkeit. We know that the Pasuk says, you should know and bring, take to your heart. What should you take to your heart? So the Pasuk, Hashem hu alikim. That Hashem is God. But the way the Pasuk says is, Havaya, first it uses the name of Hashem, Yudke Vovke, then it says Elikim, which really it means is Havaya, who are Elikim? Havaya is Elikim. Havaya is one name of Hashem and Elikim is another name. And many, many psukim we find that stress this point, that Havaya, who are Elikim? Havaya is Elikim. What does that mean? Not only that, by the famous story of Eliyahu HaNavi, when he had this great vikuah, the great dispute with the Nevi HaBaal, with the prophets of the Baal, and afterwards when the fire came down from heaven, and it proved that Eliyahu was the real prophet, and they were prophets of Avodah Zarah, of idols, and the Yidden, all the Yidden saw this, so they all admitted to the truth of Hashem. What words did they say? The Pasuk says they said, they all fell on their face and screamed, Havaya hu ha'likim. Havaya is ha'likim. Motzei Yom Kippur, the climax of Yom Kippur, at the end, at the end, at the end of Nila, we say seven times, what words? Havaya hu ha'likim. We say Hashem hu ha'likim, Hashem hu ha'likim, Hashem hu ha'likim. But really what we say is Havaya hu ha'likim. What does that mean? So Chiddush explains, based on the Zayar. The Zayar says that it comes to tell us that Havaya and Elikim kul echad. Havaya and Elikim are one. Now what does that mean? What's Havaya and what's Elikim? They're both names of Hashem, but since there's two different names, they each one expresses a different concept. So we know this is one of the most famous things, everyone knows this, that the difference is Elikim represents Hashem the way He is in the nature. That's why the word Elikim, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem, is begimatria. The numerical value is hateva, the nature. Elikim, which means Hashem, is loshen rabim, is plural. We know we have only one God, we don't have more than one. So how could you say Elikim? Plural, as if there are more than one God. The answer is, it's Hashem, the way He is in nature. And in nature, you have many things. Everything in nature is from Hashem. So we have many things in nature, so that's why we say Elikim, loshen rabim, plural. Not only that, Elikim is the only name of Hashem that you could put other things into His name. Let's say if you want to say my God and you want to use the name Havaya, you have to say Havaya Shali. You can't put yourself in one word with Hashem. There are two words, Havaya Shali, my God. If you want to say Elikim and you want to say my God, you say Elikai. In the word Elikim, you put yourself in. You want to say their God, Elikehem, your God, Elikehem. If you want to say Havaya and say your God, you say Havaya Shelochem. You have to put two words. Because Havaya is a word for itself. It can't mix with anything. While Elikim does. Why is it? If we're talking about a God, it should be separate. Because we're talking about Hashem the way He is in the nature. Where you don't see Him really. That's why the word teva, we always say this teva, which is nature, also comes from the word tuvu, which means sunk, drowned. When something sinks into the water, it's there, you just can't see it. Hashem in the nature is covered, is hidden, is concealed, we don't see it. Havaya, that represents Hashem the way He is beyond nature. The word Havaya is made up of three words, we all know that. Hoyo, hei, beviyah, which means past, present, and future, and it's all in one word. Which means it's past, present, and future together. That's not nature. Nature is made up of time and space. Time is past, present, and future. Separately, you have no time which is past, present, and future together. So with the word Havaya, which means past, present, and future together, represents Hashem the way He is beyond nature. So what the Zohar says that we have to keep in mind is that Havaya hu ha'likim, Havaya and Elikim kul echad, it's all one. Meaning that even though this is nature and this is beyond nature, it's all the same. Because the nature is only the way Hashem runs the world. It's Hashem. And Hashem is not limited, so He could run the world whichever way He wants. The fact that He runs the world naturally is because He decided to do it, but not because really He's limited or anything. And He could run, He could make miracles, which means He could change the rules because He's not limited. The only thing, like we said before, that when it's run according to the rules of nature, and since it's always like that, then we keep on forgetting, and we might think, oh, for a moment you forget it comes from Hashem. But when the miracle happens, that's a reminder, and it says, oh, there is a higher power here, not just what we think is nature, but there is somebody who runs the nature, and that picks up, as we said before, picks up the nature to reveal what's the truth of the nature. So basically what it comes out is that when there are miracles, this is basically a revelation of godliness. This reveals the truth of Hashem. Normally, Teva covers up on the truth of God. When you look at nature, you do not see. You get used to it, so we forget. So the way the nature is, it covers up on the truth of Hashem, which is, as we said before, that's why it's called Teva, nature. It's sunk in. Something in the water is covers the object. Hashem's Koyach, or Hashem, is covered. And then Neis is the revelation of God. That's a revelation. That's Gilui Elokus. That's what the Nes is. And that's the reason why, as the generations went down, their spiritual level went down, then the miracles went down, because the miracles are a revelation of godliness. So when people are in a higher level, and people are more, feel more the truth of Hashem, then there is more a revelation of Hashem, because they are kelim, they are vessels to receive this great gilui. When people are in a lower level, on one hand, they need it more, because they themselves don't feel it. But on the other hand, they are not kelim, they are not ones that are able to, as using the terms of chassidus, to be mamshich, to bring down this great revelation. And therefore, when we look through history, as time passed, the miracle became less and less. First, you had so many miracles in Mitzrayim, about the Torah, the Midbar. That was the highest generation. The Yidden in the desert were called the Derdeo, the generation of wisdom, the great smart generation. But then even later on at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the first Beis Hamikdash, there were many miracles. We know in the Beis Hamikdash there were miracles. The Oren where it stood, the Oren didn't take a place and did take a place, miracles. And all kinds of different miracles. When it came to the second Beis Hamikdash, already there's different. The revelation was not that great, because the people were not such a high level. But still, at that time, people were great. As the time passed, it came to the Tanoim and Amaroim. Time passed, their level, their spiritual level are lower, and therefore this great revelation of godliness is lower. And that's what the Gemara meant when it said that we, who are not Meisa Nefesh, we don't really give up our lives for Hashem, and therefore we are not deserving of miracles. That's what the Gemara means. When a person feels the truth of God, in which way do you see it? When do you see the person has that true feeling of Hashem and recognition of Hashem? When that's the most important thing to you. How do you see it? When the person is ready to give everything up for it. So that's what the Gemara said. When the Papa asked Abaye, why is it that the earlier generations' miracles happened to them and now it doesn't? And he answered, well, they were Meisa Nefesh HaKdushas Hashem. They gave up their life for Kiddush Hashem. And we don't. But he meant to say they were in a higher Madrege. If they were a higher Madrege and they were the ones that really felt the truth of Hashem, they were Mamshich Gilui Elokus. They brought down more revelation of godliness. And therefore, more miracles happen, which is the revelation of godliness. But in our generation, he said, we're not such a high madregi, we're not such a high level, so we are not able to be mamshir such a great revelation, and therefore, not so many miracles happen. And as generations passed further and further, then the miracles were less and less. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that miracles don't happen. Miracles do happen. We just have to pay attention to them. Actually, the Gemara says that nowadays, even though we don't see the miracles, but miracles happen. The people who the miracles happen to don't recognize the miracles. And it's also because we don't really pay attention, and we, because we're not such a high madrig, and we don't recognize Hashem in the fullest way, we always look at things from the eyes of nature. And therefore, not always do we see the miracles, but they're happening. But sometimes, real miracles happen that no one could dispute, and everyone agrees that this is a miracle. And the reason it happens is because from time to time, Hashem does want us to have this wake-up call and realize, recognize the truth of Hashem. But there is one kind of miracle that says that happens more nowadays than it used to happen before. And that's a nes hamlubish b'teva, miracles that are dressed, covered up in nature. Because basically we have three things. We have nature, then we have miracles. Nature means something that goes on naturally according to the normal rules of nature. Then you have miracles, which are completely beyond the rules of nature. And then you have a third thing, which is a middle point, that sometimes you have a miracle which is put into nature. That means if you look at it, you see there are too many coincidences, too many things that happen, that it shows that there is a miracle. But nevertheless, if you want, you could say, well, it just turned out to be that way. But if you think a little bit deeper, you'll see that it's a miracle. The example always given to such a thing is the Nes of Purim. says the difference between the miracle of Purim and the miracle of Chanukah. The miracle of Chanukah was a pure miracle. Rabbi Miad Miatim, the many were given over to the hands of the few, the strong in the hands of the weak. Yet hundreds of thousands of soldiers against few, and those few came out victorious. That's an open miracle. That's against nature. That's a real miracle. Purim was also a miracle. But Purim, it was in a story. First killed Vashti, and then Queen Esther became the queen, and the way things happened, and then the story with Haman. There were a sequence of events, natural events, that took place. A person with a little bit of brains sees that this is not normal. There is a special hand of Hashem that was guiding all this in order for it to happen. But on the other hand, it was all put into natural things that happened. Now it says in Chassidus that a miracle that's dressed into nature has one mile, something over a real miracle. And this is what it says. A regular miracle shows that Hashem controls the world and Hashem could do what he wants. But it doesn't really, really prove that nature is also a miracle. A person could still think, okay, you have two things. There is nature, and that's one type of hanhoge, one type of control of the world. And then you have, yes, Hashem could not go along with nature. He could be different. He could do a miracle. But as if there are two separate things, in order to really show that it's one, that there is no such thing as really nature. Nature itself is from Hashem. So when you have a miracle in the nature, that really reveals, that's the realness. Ness meaning elevation, to elevate, to show the nature, the quality of what nature is when there is a miracle in the nature, and then it shows, even though it's nature and it still came from Hashem. So this is Ayin Madrega. This is these are the miracles that say that happen more in the time of Golus. That then, a lot of times, when you start looking around and you just have to think, not too deep even, a little bit, you'll see so many things are natural, seem to be natural, but really it's a miracle. The existence of Klal Yisrael Bechlal, we know what kind of anti-Semitism there is in the world, that people hate us, and nevertheless, we exist. It's natural, it looks like it's natural, but if you start thinking, it's a miracle within the nature. The Medrash, the Gemara uses the term, we are like, keep sachas b'shivim zeivim, like one sheep amongst 70 wolves, and we still exist. I mean, normally, imagine 70 wolves is one sheep. It can't exist. Well, it says that now you don't even see it so much, because we're living in a country, Baruch Hashem, that everything is fine. But even for people to make panosa, to make a livelihood, was a miracle. The Rebbe Manash said that the making of a livelihood of a person nowadays is like the money, it's like a miracle. For a Jew to make panosa, to make a living, okay, I'm saying now we don't really see it, we live in a free country, but in just not long ago, it was 40, 50 years ago, or even just before in Russia and other places, the people should exist. A Yid with Shmirah Shabbos, with mitzvahs, it's a miracle. But it's a miracle within the nature. Like Rebbe Marash also said that a Baal Esek, a person who works, could see Hashgacha Pratis, could see the hand of Hashem, the divine providence, more than the person sits and learns. The person sits and learns in yeshiva all day. Where do you see divine providence? You learn Torah, fine. But when you go out into the world and you see how things just, punk, this happened, this guy came here and I just happened to meet him and I made a deal. You see Hashgacha Pratis, which is basically a ness within the nature. And that's something that we see. And that's something that happens in Zman HaGolus nowadays more than it happened in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's for that reason, to show us that everything comes from Hashem. And then there's another idea behind miracles, that many times there are miracles which we call Meisin done through Tzadikim, which Hashem gave them the power, that they are able to change nature. And the reason is, as I said before, since they are so close to Hashem, they are bottled, they are completely given over to Hashem. So Hashem gave them the power that nature is not in control. Just like I said before, Hashem himself is not limited by nature. He made the nature. So tzaddikim are very close to Hashem. Hashem gave them this power that they are also not limited to the laws of nature. And because they are so close to Hashem, they are ones who are able to bring Gilui Elokus. We said before, a miracle is Gilui Elokus, is a revelation of godliness. Tzaddikim, who are close to Hashem, they are vessels to bring into the world the revelation of godliness. And therefore we find that through tzaddikim, many times miracles happen. And the way that tzaddikim do the miracles is not like people think, oh, you have some tricks, you know, these are people who are able to lahavdil, 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 like you have no, people who do black magic, they also do some tricks, and here we have these people have this some kind of secrets of how they're able to do tricks. They don't do tricks, they don't do anything. It's very simple. Being that they're such great tzaddikim, they are so close to Hashem, they have that power of Hashem of not being limited to the laws of nature. And therefore, they are able to do things to control. There is another concept, but this is not what we're talking about at all, that a person, a tzaddik, who was familiar with different shemes, different names of Hashem, you're able to use the shemes to perform miracles, which would fall under the category of Kabbalah Maisius. When we talk about Kabbalah, it says that there are two types of Kabbalah, Kabbalah Yunis, which means the study of Kabbalah, the understanding of the different things it says in Kabbalah. Then we have an idea called Kabbalah Maisius, to use Kabbalah for Maisa, for action, to do things. But the Tzaddikim did not do this at all. The Baal Shem Tov said that there was once in his lifetime, that he used a certain name of Hashem to do a miracle. Once, when he was young, and all his life he regretted doing it. So how did he perform more miracles? He said he performed it with his emunah pshuta, with his simple, true, pure faith in Hashem, and true connection to Hashem. That's how he performed miracles.